Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church. Again, I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, the counseling pastor, senior citizens pastor there at Brookside, and we're talking to Michael and Laura, who have shared with us their call to missions, and we've been just discussing the importance of being open to anything and having a good support system of folks who are praying for them at home. And as you listen to our broadcast and you think about the missionaries in your church, it's so important that you encourage them, and that as you look at their pictures and maybe even their newsletters on the mission board, that you let them know you're praying for them and what a blessed ministry that can be. Michael and Laura, you guys have been on deputation. You've been in numbers of churches, and you probably have even individual support. But when you get on the field, how would you like the folks in the churches and your own supporters, how would you like for them to minister to you?
Well, I think that can be a loaded question, and sometimes because you're trying to shout your own PR and, hey, we need this, sounds somewhat selfish. But there's several things that I think that a support team is there for. Of course, with the way the missions is done and through the local church, and we believe that God's people support God's work, there is the support factor. And of course, you can't live without that. But as far as other that, it goes much beyond just a weekly dollar figure or writing a check or dropping a few bucks in the plate. Brookside has done an amazing job of this, as some of the other churches that we've been able and privileged to visit, to where people love missions and missionaries. And it's really an environment or an atmosphere that is fostered in a location to where they're not just names, or even sometimes they don't even know names, a map with faces plastered all over it.
Sure, right.
They're people. They're our extended staff. They're just like a pastor, yet they live around the world. And that connection and that understanding that this is not just, oh, we support these folks, but we really don't know what they do, but that these are our missionaries. These are our people. In fact, I can't go, but so-and-so went for our church. On behalf of us, they're serving in Africa and Asia and South America and wherever. Because missions is an outreach of God's body, his church, his local church. Not everyone can move overseas, but those that can, the home team is the alliance there. That's the other piece of the puzzle. And so I think you've got your financial support, your prayer support, but in our day, if you wanted to kind of categorize it, we're in a communication overload age sometimes. But the ease of it, the missionary often is left out of most communication, especially in countries where you can't communicate openly, like by Facebook or some of the other social media sites, but you can still do secure email and sometimes certain phone calls and things. But these kind of get slipped through the cracks because we're all so busy, you know. So a personal touch is always a very welcome thing, especially when you're abroad and you know there's only a couple other Christians maybe in your whole city.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then even a short-term trip, go visit them. Many folks, especially even retired folks, can be a huge blessing and encouragement to a missionary just by popping in and staying for 7, 10 days, 2 weeks to encourage, visit, whatever. And you can kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, by vacationing and encouraging all in one shot.
You know, our church in Georgia that I had the privilege of being the pastor for 15 years had a lady every month on the missions committee, a different lady now, that would just write a newsy letter of what was going on in the church, in the area, even in the United States, and just every month then would send it to every one of our church missionaries. And so when our missionaries came back for missions conference, they would say, we feel like we know this church better than even our home church, because we're kept up to date. We know people by name. We know who had babies, you know, who got married, and all of these types of things. It's very easy, you know, yeah, for that to happen. In fact, even with emails, you know, those kinds of things can happen. You can write one letter and have a list of your missionaries and hit one button and poof, they have that information. And just keeping missionaries in the loop.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And, you know, it could be as simple as you might think you don't have enough time to write a note every week or something, but it could be as simple as sending your church bulletin to them, emailing it to them,
sure,
then they can see what's going on. Bulletins list so many things, not just announcements. They have, like you're saying, weddings and anniversaries and babies.
Right.
It's just a part of letting them feel involved in your church. And especially even, you know, coming, maybe it sounds selfish coming from this perspective since we are raising our support, but to remember people on deputation too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always thought, you know, you're still in America and you can still call home. But really, deputation can be a huge blessing, but it can also be very, very lonely. And to just keep those people, you know, whether your church sent them out or they're just people you know.
Right.
Just to remember them while they're traveling, it will mean the world to them.
Birthday cards or phone calls on the anniversary or...
Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything at all.
Right.
You'll have no idea how much it might encourage them. They might be ready to quit that day.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had days where I've wanted to throw in the towel, honestly. And for somebody to love me enough to think of me to send me a text message... to tell me they're praying for me. It doesn't have to be a phone call. That's great. But even a text, you know, somebody cares about me. And that sounds selfish, but Satan will use discouragement in a missionary's life so fast. And he has used it in my life so fast. And for God's people to come alongside and encourage me means the world.
So you're saying the Elijah syndrome, where nobody knows I'm alive. I'm the only one that's serving God. The idea that of loneliness.
Yes.
Yeah. And wow, just one text.
Yeah. One text can help a morning. It can help a day. It can make the person who wants to quit keep going one more day.
Neat. Well, as we consider keep going one more day, what would you say God is teaching about himself during the deputation process? Maybe just examples of how God has shown his provision in awesome ways. I know as my son would share testimonies of his deputation times, sometimes he would say, Dad, I didn't even get an offering big enough to cover the gas to get there. Mm-hmm. Or sad to say, the church may take an offering and you never got it. You know, and that just blows my mind, you know, because as a pastor, I'm thinking, what do you mean you never got it? How in the world can a church take an offering, but you never get it, you know? And so at that point, I begin to get bitter. But, you know, there are stories like that, I'm sure, you know, where you're saying, okay, Lord, it took me $100 to get here and I got $15. Well, praise the Lord. But share with us how God works in his provision.
Yeah, and it is a challenging time and there's much debate and critiquing and some even rethinking in today's day and age how we fund missions. And I think those are valid conversations that need to take place because the process that we're in really, really stretches and challenges and pushes to the limit, I think, all involved in the process. As far as the provision, the Lord provides through all kinds of different ways. We have seen in our own lives, in fact, the entire time that I've been traveling, I still work full time as our support has gradually come in and stuff. And that has helped to provide having a job that is flexible so that I can take time off. And then our son was born while we traveled. So, you know, those extra expenses that you don't budget in your support that when he's born, you know, medical things, it's been a blessing to have that extra income to be able to pay. And then even to travel, you know, travel has gotten so expensive that, you know, things like that. And then you go in, we were in a church recently that was very small compared to some that we've been into. And we were told ahead of time, hey, don't expect much there. And then they blew us away, and our second largest love offering we've ever received came in, you know, from, you know, a handful of people. And the first night we were there, there's less than 50 people, you know. And so it's like, okay, well, I wasn't expecting that. So I think one of the things you've learned is expectations and presumptions and assumptions need to go out the window, because what you think will happen doesn't, and what you think won't happen might. So you've got to get out of the guessing game often, you know.
And sometimes God provides in mysterious ways. Sometimes, like you said, it's the tiniest congregation.
Right.
That has happened to us twice. We've had, like, the smallest churches we have been at have blown us away with their love and their generosity, and God has used them to provide. And big churches, too, but it's neat to see that the Lord working in people's hearts to provide. And even with Brookside, they just... you know, God provides all of our needs. And then in addition to that, sometimes our wants, they just showered so many gifts on us. Specifically for me, a girl didn't know that I had prayed for a journal, and she bought me a journal.
Oh, awesome.
And, I had really needed some new running shoes, and somebody went and bought me some really nice running shoes. You know, it's just encouraging. He always meets our needs, but I'm floored by the wants that he provides too, and it's just encouraging to see that.
Because he is Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. He is our provision. And every morning that I walk and pray, I use the Lord's Prayer as the foundation for my hour of walking in prayer. And so I get to that point that it says that I am to praise his name. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so just begin to focus on the names of God. Yes, he's Jehovah Jireh, but he's also Jehovah Shalom. He is my peace. And that simply means I don't have to be dependent upon circumstances, because there have been times in my life and ministry, circumstances have been horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has fallen apart.
Yeah. And one of the things he's reminded me of during this raising our support time is that, you know, deputation, we do this. We do depend on God's people to provide. But really, in the end, he is our provider. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the provider for my daily need. And he will bring it to pass. He'll supply the need for his work.
And like you said, God can use the most unusual situations and people. I know in a previous church that I pastored, the treasurer told me one day, he said, "Do you have any clue who the biggest missions giver is in our church?" And I said, "Well, no." And he said, "Do you want to know?" Wow, that's quite a question. And I said, "Will it be a blessing to me?" He said, "It will be a blessing to you." And I said, "Sure." And he told me the name of a widow lady. And he said, every time we have a missionary come through giving any kind of report, she drops a $100 bill in the plate every time. And he said, sometimes when we have two missionaries come through Wednesday night and Sunday night, she'll drop a $100 bill each time. But then on a regular basis, her giving was awesome. How did she do it? Well, you look at where she lived. She never owned a home. She always rented. She well could have afforded a home. She always drove a used car. She was always giving to others. Now, I'm convinced when we get to heaven that we're just going to be able to hear the Lord say, "Preachers, you guys just step aside. I've got some people that nobody knows their name, but let me tell you what they've done for the cause of Christ." And dear fellow listener, you may be such a person. You may have a prayer ministry that no one knows about but God. You may have a giving ministry that no one has a clue what you are able to do through your sacrificial giving, but God knows. And praise the Lord, that's all who needs to know. And I trust that as you come to the end of this interview with us, that your heart will be challenged to be a blessing to the missionaries that you know, not just when they're in the church, but as Laura said, on a daily basis, just a short text maybe, just a little prayer, and how God can lift their spirits through you. And so until the next time, we trust the Lord's blessings in your life in a tremendous way.